Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 6, which says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." And as we've been looking at this passage, we've been talking about how the Apostle Paul had sent Timothy unto this assembly in Thessalonica to find out exactly what was going on with them, to see if they had been remaining faithful to the message that has been given to us during this dispensation, if they had been continuing to teach the doctrine of the dispensation of the grace of God, the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how someone putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today, and how the Apostle Paul heard things from Timothy, finding out that they had remained faithful, that they had continued to function as he described them in chapter number 2, of the fact that they took the information that had been given unto them and accepted it as the Word of God. Now, as we left off, I think we looked at this issue of the good remembrance that they had of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And we looked at how, and where we left off here is this issue of the good remembrance of us always. And when you look through the Bible, you see how there's times where there's always and there's always in the scripture. Now, those two words actually have different meanings. So we're going to talk about that actually in a minute. But what I want to start here first with is the fact of how it is that the word always is actually defined. And what we have here, there's four different definitions of the word always that you can find in the 1828 dictionary. And the first one here is perpetually throughout all time, as God is always the same. The second one, continually without variation. The third one, continually or constantly during a certain period. And the fourth one, at all convenient times, regularly. Now, seeing that there's an issue of time that's associated with these words, you always and always, you know, always is dealing with the thing of at every time and on every occasion. So, meaning that it's, you know, something is happening at every single time that is actually being made a reference to. Now, always, it has the thing of all the time or perpetually these things occurring. Now, you can see how there's some very subtle differences between these definitions. And when we look here, we're going to look at a couple verses here in the scripture. We're going to go over to Matthew chapter number 28. And we're going to see here in the book of Matthew one of these words being used here in verse 28. And we're going to read the very last verse of Matthew 28, verse 20, which says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And when you look at how Matthew's recording what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, talking about, he's saying, I am with you always. He's with them by the word that's been given to them, and he's with them by the Holy Ghost, which is being given unto them as well. Now, let's compare this. If we go over to the book of John, now we're going to go to John chapter number 12. And we're going to see the use of the word always. Now, just as we saw that in every way, they're going to have him with them. Now you see here in verse 8 of John 12, when it says, for the poor always you have with you, but me ye have not always. So he's not going to be with them all the time. And we know that there's a future event coming from John 12 of the cross that's happening, where he's not going to be with them physically, but he's going to be with them always in this thing of having the word and the Holy Ghost. So when Paul is using this word always and saying that they have this good remembrance of them always, that it means that their remembrance that they have is at many occasions they're having this good remembrance of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and it tying in with the issue of the word working in them, so that way this would be occurring. And as it's working in them to get this occurring is where we get into the very next part of this passage, dealing with the issue of this desire that they would have to be with them. When he says, desiring to greatly to see us as we also to see you. And Paul talking about how these saints at Thessalonica had a desire to see Paul, Silas, and Timothy in the same manner that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had this desire to actually go and see them and be with them again. It's a desire to be with the fellow members of the body of Christ. And that's truly something that the members of the body really should have for each other, is that desire to be around each other, the desire to be around individuals that have the same thought process, individuals who are part of the body that can be edifying each other in the doctrine that's been given to us. Now, when we see the Apostle Paul actually talking about this desire to be around the individuals, we can look back at an example in Paul's ministry of how it is that he was looking at this aspect. We'll go over into the book of Acts. We'll go to Acts chapter number 21. And we're going to see here in the book of Acts, as Luke is recording this, writing things from the perspective of the nation of Israel, as he's talking about the ministry of the Apostle Paul, that you have a description of what Paul is saying about being around these individuals. And here in Acts chapter number 21, we're going to start here at verse number 4, and we're going to read down through verse number 14. Verse 4 says, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed, and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the Evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. And here you had this issue of this prophet Agabus coming to them, describing what was going to happen to the Apostle Paul if he made the decision to go up to Jerusalem. And when this is recorded and said, here's exactly what's going to happen to him if he goes up, that individuals tried to persuade him to do anything but go up to Jerusalem. They did not want this to happen to the Apostle Paul. They wanted him to be able to continue to be a free individual, to preach the message, to be going out, delivering this to all the individuals that he was supposed to be teaching. And you see how it talks about that Paul was supposed to be a minister unto the Gentiles, and also he had a responsibility to the nation of Israel as well. And you can see that recorded in Acts 9 and Acts 21 and Acts 26, speaking of the salvation of the Apostle Paul and what his responsibility was going to be. Now, we see how Paul had a desire for the nation of Israel. And we're going to read here. I'm going to turn over to Romans chapter 10 to show how Paul's viewpoint of the nation of Israel is recorded here for us. We'll read the very first verse of Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He had a desire to try to make sure that Israel was going to have salvation, and feeling that the only way that they were going to get this salvation was that he was going to have to go there and preach the message that he had to them. That they were not going to accept this unless he went to see them, to minister to them, and to have that fellowship with them. And you see how Paul, in his epistles, talks about the plans that he has to be going to the saints, to be ministering to them as part of what his responsibility was. We're here in the book of Romans. Let's turn back to chapter number 1. And we know that as you read Romans chapter 1, you see how there's a discussion here. And we're going to just read verse number 11, which says, For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Now, this is an assembly that had put their trust in the message has been given to the Apostle Paul to be preaching to the Gentiles. He is not ever been there to preach this to him. They have heard this from other individuals. They've received it. He is talking about, you know, in verse 8, identifies that their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, and how he has the desire to be around these individuals. That same desire that we see him talking about, that he has to be seeing the saints in Thessalonica. If we turn over to Romans chapter number 15, we'll see, again, talking about this same assembly. And now he's going to start laying out the details of this plan and how he hopes to be able to get to see them. And we read here verses 23 and 24. Verse 23 says, "But now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." And this phrase here of being filled with their company deals with the whole issue of this desire that he has to be with them, and how there's an edification process that comes about from being around the other members of the body of Christ. A process that we see how Paul describes if we go over to the book of Ephesians. We're going to turn here to Ephesians chapter number 4. And he's going to describe here in this verse that we're going to read, give us a description of how it is that the body is to be functioning properly if all of the members are doing exactly what the doctrine has laid out for us to do. And we're going to read here in chapter number 4, the book of Ephesians, verse number 16, which says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself." Now, we've talked about how the responsibility of the local assembly is that evangelism, taking the message of this dispensation out to the lost, and once individuals have that salvation, that there's the thing of coming unto the knowledge of the truth that happens through the edification, the exhortation, and the raising up of that next generation of the eldership. But here we have Paul specifically talking about this edification process, the building up of the members of the body of Christ that's supposed to happen as individuals are being around each other. You know, and that's when people talk about, you know, why it is that we should be coming together as a local assembly. One of the big reasons of coming together is for that edification process to be occurring, for individuals to be able to share what they've learned with each other about various passages in Scripture. Because not everybody is going to have 100% insight into everything that's written in the Word of God. We need to receive that edification from each other, because there's passages that, you know, all of us have, thing of where either we struggle with what it means or we have really almost no idea what the passage means, but somebody else has the insight through their study of what this passage actually means. And this is where that edification process actually occurs, to where now I get that understanding from somebody else to be able to say that this is what this verse means, and now I have that understanding. That edification process also allows for, in a sense, a check and balance on, you know, what happens in our own personal study to make sure that we're not falling away from the truth, that we're not wandering off following something that we think we see, which the scriptures actually aren't identifying as truth. But because if we aren't being around other members of the body, we have nobody to be able to tell us, you're wrong on this, and here's why, and giving the scriptural evidence to show, you know, well, you're saying this, but this verse and this verse and this verse are showing that it's not what you're actually thinking. That's what is supposed to happen with the members of the body functioning together. And it's this description which says the body fitly joined together. That the body is put together in a way that if all the members are there, it's one whole functioning together. When pieces aren't there, it becomes very obvious because of the body being fitly joined together. It becomes obvious that those pieces are missing, and it has an impact on the functioning of that body. It has an impact on the functioning of that local assembly. And this is where, when individuals start trying to do these things of that they cut off members of the body of Christ and usually cut them off for some minuscule reason of, you know, well, we disagree about the meaning of this one little thing that, you know, is, it's not impacting the gospel, it's not impacting the unique ministry of the Apostle Paul, it's not having an impact on things, and it's, you know, some little minor detail that, okay, you know, it's not having an impact on anything, we have a liberty to disagree on this, and instead of looking at it from the aspect of the liberty that we have to disagree, individuals turn it into a thing of, well, because you have this viewpoint, I can no longer have fellowship with you. Those are the things that start to have an impact on the functioning of the body of Christ. And, you know, I always talk about that example of, you know, a area that's, you know, about 45 minutes away from where I am here in Buffalo, New York, where there's three different groups that understand right division, that understand the gospel message for today, and agree on, you know, I'm just going to throw a percentage out there, probably agree on 95% or higher of everything that they're teaching. And yet, because of these little differences, these little things that have no real impact on things, these three groups not only have no fellowship with each other, but almost in a sense go out of their way to make it known that they're not having fellowship with these other individuals. That's having a real impact on the body of Christ. These are things that the Apostle Paul would not be talking about. This, you see from these verses the issue of Paul having that desire to be around the members of the body of Christ. A desire that we should have as well, that we should understand that this is how God would want us to function. And because this is how God would want us to function, that we should be doing everything in our power to be making sure that we're functioning according to what the doctrine that's been given to us actually says. Now, next time we're going to finish up looking at verse number 6 and probably start to look at verse number 7 here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to watch our Sunday service live as it's being broadcast on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. You know, this Wednesday, we'll be continuing our study going through the book of 1 Peter and contrasting some of the things that Peter's writing with what the Apostle Paul says for us today. So that way to give that understanding and show how what Peter's writing doesn't apply to the members of the body of Christ. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything that in our broadcast, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.